Okay, let's open our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to go to the 14th chapter, Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, and I'm going to start at verse number 66. 14:66. And I hear pages turning. I love it when you bring your Bibles with you. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And I'm going to read these last seven verses of this chapter, starting with verse 66. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. But he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself and swore to them, "I don't know the man that you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, my prayer this morning is going to be rather quick and simple. May your message, may your words just really speak to each and every one of our hearts here this morning, Lord. Let us all walk out of here just a little bit different and a little more Christ-like. And to you be the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to be talking about the Apostle Peter. But before we do, there is just one thing that I want us all to learn about the Bible itself. As we take this journey through the New Testament in 2012, we're going to spend about the first 6 months of our time in the four Gospels alone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as we do, we're going to come across some scripture readings that may seem and may sound a little familiar. And they seem familiar because we have read that same story or that same account in one of the previous Gospels. Many of the accounts or stories that we read in the four Gospels are found in more than one Gospel. Some accounts, some stories are found in all four of the Gospels. Our scripture reading that we read here this morning is found in all four of the Gospels. So we have one fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin here this morning. And I actually give you two words to fill in, and they both begin with the letter P. And let me tell you what that fill-in-the-blank is. When a biblical account is found in another book of the Bible, these accounts are called parallel passages. They are called parallel passages. A good study Bible will list the parallel passages before that section of Scripture. For example, my study Bible shows that today's Scripture reading from Mark 66 through 72, I can also find in Matthew 26, 69 through 75. I can find the same account in Luke 22, 56 through 62. And I can find the same account in John 18, chapter 18, verses 25 through 27. One thing we need to remember is that parallel accounts may and probably will not be exactly the same because they are, one, written from different vantage points, and two, just written by different people. But we must remember this, they will always enhance the other account and they will never contradict it. And I wanted to just point this out to everyone here this morning because we're going to be spending some time looking at the parallel passage of this morning's scripture reading from that of back in Matthew. And there's a very good reason why, and we'll get to that here in a few minutes. So with that brief introduction, let's move on into today's lesson where we talk about the Apostle Peter. I hope we all realize just how fortunate we all are to be able to have this book in our hands. If you think that you're fortunate to have the Bible in your hands here this morning, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Good. We all agree on that. We can read it from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And as we do, we read about men and women who had parts of their lives etched forever into the pages of this book. And as we read about these people, we read about their successes. And we read about their failures. And if you're like me, sometimes as you read about these other people that we read about here in the Bible, we just might say something like this. Well, you know, if that was me, I would have never done that. Or we might say, you know, if that was me, I would have never said something like that. Is that so? Is that so? We might even go as far as saying, you know, if I was Adam or if I was Eve, you know, the fall of mankind would have never, ever happened. Trust me, if any one of us in here were either Adam and or Eve, the fall of man would have still happened. Can I hear an amen on that one? It would have. Different people are written about in God's Word. And in the four Gospels, we read that Jesus chose 12 men to be his closest disciples, which he called apostles. Who did he choose? Did he choose the rich? Did he choose the wise? Did he choose the religious? Did he choose the educated? Did he choose the popular? No. He chose 12 ordinary men. And one such man that the Bible teaches, and it's his work and his life and his words are etched within these pages, is a man named Peter. And this morning I want to look at his successes, and I want to look this morning at one of his darkest moments. I want to do that because as I look around this sanctuary, as I look around this sanctuary and as I look at myself, I see a room full of ordinary people who also go through this Christian journey with successes, amen, and with dark moments, amen, amen. But it's good to know as we read about the escapades of Peter that we are all in very good company. I'm going to go through a list of facts about Peter, some of the things that he said. But first, I want to just talk about four facts of Peter. And I want us to remember this as we go through this whole list. I want us to remember that if Jesus can use a man like Peter, he can use a person just like us. So let's talk about just some facts first. First of all, his real name is Simon. We get that from John chapter 1, verse 42. And in that verse, Jesus says, you are Simon, but I'm going to call you Cephas, which translated means Peter, which translated again means rock. So Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. Sometimes he does call him Simon throughout the Gospels. Second fact, he was called to be a disciple by Jesus. We find that in Matthew 4:18. Jesus chose him. Peter did not choose Jesus. We know that from John chapter 6, verse 70. There are three listings of all the disciples in the Gospels. Matthew 10, verse 2, Mark 3, 16, and Luke chapter 6, verse 14. Every time we look at those listings of all 12 disciples, the name of Peter is always first. And out of the 12 disciples, he was one of the three inner circle disciples along with James and John. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, he was with Jesus and James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. In Matthew 26, 37, he was with James and John. Jesus brought them along in the garden. And in Mark 5, 37, he was with James and John when Jesus brought the daughter of Jairus back to life again. So those are just a few facts about Peter. He was the inner circle. His real name is Simon, and he's always listed first. But let's talk about some of the characteristics of Peter, some of the qualities of Peter, some of his personality traits, and see once if we can maybe relate. I have in your bulletin about, I think, 10 different lines there, starting with Matthew 14:28. And what I want you to do there, if you want to, if you don't, that's fine too. I'm going to say something about Peter from that verse. And if you want to write down this attribute about Peter, you can. The first one from Matthew 14:28. Peter had enough faith to walk on water. Peter's in the boat with the rest of the disciples. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. And Jesus comes up to the boat. And Peter says, "Lord, if you call me out, I can walk on the water too." And Jesus called him out. And Peter had enough faith, at least momentarily anyways, to walk on water. He had enough faith. The second one, from Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Peter knew enough about himself to tell Jesus that he was a sinful man. Peter and the rest of the disciples had been out fishing all night. They were fishermen. They knew how to catch fish. They caught nothing. Jesus yells from the shore, "Oh, toss your net to the right side of the boat." "Yeah, right. I'm a fisherman. I know how to fish. You don't have to tell me how to fish." They put the net on the right side of the boat. They caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull them into the boat. That's when Simon Peter says, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." The third one from Matthew 16:16. He was transformed enough to give the great confession. Remember the story? Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, being the spokesperson for the disciples, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." One question, one answer, and he got it right. Peter was transformed, and Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, because that was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." He was transformed by the Father in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit. John 13:8, what about Peter can we find out here? Peter was proud enough to tell Jesus, "You're not going to wash my feet." It was the night of the Last Supper. The disciples were all sitting around the table, and Jesus takes out a pan of water and starts washing all their feet until he gets to Peter. And Peter says, "No, you're not going to do this for me." He was prideful enough. He had pride. Matthew 16, verse 23. He was outspoken enough that Jesus had to rebuke him in front of the other disciples. This was right after the great confession. He just confessed, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus starts telling them, "I got to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be turned over to the chief priests, teachers of the law, and I'm going to be killed." And what does Jesus say? "Oh, no, you're not. No, you're not, Jesus. You're not going to do that." And he was outspoken enough to tell the Son of God what to do. Matthew 18, verse 21. He was inquisitive enough to ask Jesus how many times a person should forgive another person. He goes up to Jesus, "How many times should I forgive? Up to 3 times? No, he says up to 7 times. It was common practice to forgive up to 3 times. Peter thought he'd take it to the next level, take it up to 7. And what does Jesus say? No, 70 times 7. But he was inquisitive. He just wanted to know the answer. He was, Mark chapter 9, verse 5, he was impetuous, there's a good word, impetuous enough to suggest that 3 shelters be built for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you're probably asking yourself right now 2 questions. How do you spell impetuous, and what does it mean? Okay, I-M-P-E-T-U-O-U-S, impetuous. It means to act without thinking. It says, the Bible says that he was so terrified, he used the words terrified, that he didn't know what to do. So he says, how about if I build a couple shelters for you guys? He was impetuous. He acted without thinking. The next one from Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. He was brash enough to tell Jesus that he would never fall away no matter what happens to Jesus. Right before the story that we read here, Jesus tells all the disciples, the shepherd will be struck and the sheep will scatter. And Peter said, those other guys, they might do that, but I'm never going to do that. I'll stick with you, Jesus, regardless of whatever happens to you. He was brash enough to say that to Jesus. The next one from John chapter 18, verse 10. He was volatile enough to cut off the ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest in the garden. Here comes Judas with the Roman guards and some of the high priests and some of the Jewish leaders. And what does Peter do? He wants to defend his master, and he gets up with that sword and cuts off the ear of a man called Malchus. He was volatile enough. Rather unpredictable, I guess, would be another good word. And then we get to our last one from Mark chapter 14, verses 68, 69, and 71. It was in the scripture reading we read this morning. He was cowardly enough to deny knowing Jesus, and he does this three times. I don't know the man. You were with him. I don't know what you're talking about. You're one of those Galileans. I'm telling you, I have no clue who that man is. Faithful. He knew enough about himself. He was transformed. He was proud. He was outspoken. He was inquisitive. He was impetuous. He was brash. He was volatile. And sometimes he was a coward. Do any of these characteristics fit us? Let's go through them and let me throw some other things in there. Are you a person of faith? Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you proud? Lord, I can take care of this all by myself. Are you brash? Lord, I will always stand up for you regardless of what happens. Are you outspoken? Lord, let me tell you how you need to handle this situation. Are you impetuous? Lord, I must do something and I have to do it right now. Are you volatile? Lord, I'll fight in your name. Just give me the right weapons to fight with. Are you inquisitive? Lord, could you please tell me? Because I don't know the answer. Are you transformed? Lord, you are the Christ. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. Do you know enough about yourself to know what and who you really are? Lord, I am a sinful man. Are you a coward? Lord, the heat is on. The battle is rough, and the persecution hurts. So for just this moment in time, will you please turn your back, because I'm going to pretend like I just don't know you. There are two more characteristics about Peter I want to cover here this morning. First, I'm going to read Mark chapter 14, verse 72. And then I'm going to read the parallel passage from Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. So let me find that here real quick. Let me read Mark 14, 72, and see if you can hear the difference in these two. Mark 14, 72 says this. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Matthew 26:75, the parallel passage. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Yes, there are probably a few different differences there, but there's one that Matthew says that Mark didn't. Matthew includes a very important adverb in his account, bitterly. I believe there is a big difference between weeping and weeping bitterly. Sometimes weeping might just be crocodile tears, but weeping bitterly to me is a sign of very deep remorse and regret. So let's say this, if we're going to fill in another attribute about Peter. Peter was remorseful enough to weep bitterly over his denial of Jesus. Have you ever wept bitterly? I have. I believe there is a time or times in the walk of every Christian when we need to do just that. It's a time when we need to be so remorseful of our sin, of our words, of our actions, of our thoughts, that we just need to get on our knees and weep bitterly in true remorse and true regret and true repentance. I'll just share this with you. It's not part of my notes. I have done that before. And it's very difficult when you get on your knees in the middle of taking a shower. It's very difficult to breathe when you're weeping bitterly and the water's just pouring on you. But you can't tell the difference between the water and the tears. Yes, I have wept bitterly over my sin and my words and my actions and my thoughts. And that's exactly what Peter did here. So I asked all of us in here, do we have that characteristic of Peter, where we are remorseful enough to weep bitterly over those times that we might deny him? One more, and we'll end with this. I'm going to go to John chapter 21, verses 4 through 7, and just read a couple of these verses here. This is at the end of the Gospel of John. This is after the resurrection, before Jesus ascended into heaven. And I'm going to read John chapter 21, verses 4 through 7. It says this, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Just as I believe there comes a time in our life where we need to get on our knees and weep bitterly over our sin, I also believe that there comes a time in our life where for every Christian where we need to put aside our pride, put aside our impetuousness, put aside our brashness, put aside our outspokenness, put aside our inquisitiveness and our volatility, and put aside ourselves, and we just need to jump in the water and go as fast as we can so we can be with our Savior. So how do we describe this one? Let's use a word from last week. I think it's rather appropriate, even though impetuous might kind of fit here, but I kind of like this word instead. Peter was childlike enough to jump into the water so he could get to Jesus first. Peter knew who he was dependent on. He knew where he would find truth. He knew who does all the providing. And he knew who he could trust. And by golly, he was going to make sure that he got there first. You know, I'm sure glad that there is someone like Peter in the Bible, because too often, I think he's just like me. So here's what I want us to do here this morning. Here's how I want us to end. I'm going to make a statement, and then after I make that statement, I want all of us in here to repeat, just like me. Okay? Can we do that here this morning? I'm glad there's someone like Peter in the Bible. Someone who is brash, just like me. Someone who can be proud, just like me. Someone who is outspoken, just like me. Someone who can be inquisitive, just like me. Someone who sometimes is a coward, just like me. Someone who is volatile, just like me. Someone who is faithful, just like me. Someone who has been transformed, just like me. Someone who is impetuous, just like me. Someone who can be remorseful, just like me. And someone who has a heart like a child, just like me. You know, if I was to talk with God right now, I'd say this. You know, well, God, if you can use a person like Peter, you can use someone just like me. Let's go to God and pray.